Today's shiur is Masechta Megillah Daf Yud Gimel, and we will begin Daf Yud Beis Amud Beis, the last word of the third wide line. The Megillah says, Ish Yehudi Hoye B'Shushan Habiria U'Shmoy Mordechai Ish Yemini. Ask the Gemara, my comer, what does the Pasuk mean by giving Mordechai all these names? Ili Yechuse Kasi, if the point is to tell us where Mordechai came from, Lech Seviyozel Ad Binyamin, then the Pasuk should mention all of Mordechai's grandfathers up to Binyamin. But what the Pasuk does only say is Ushmoy Mordechai Ben Yor Ben Shimi Ben Kish, only these three forefathers. Why Elamayshno Hani? Why does the Megillah specify these three forefathers? Answers the Gemara, Tana Kula Al Shmoy Nikra, because all of these names are related to Mordechai. Ben Yoyer, Ben Sheher, a name Sheyisrael B'Tfilasoy, he brightened Klal Yisrael prospects with his tefillah. Ben Shimi, Ben Sheshama Kel Tfilasoy, HaKadosh Baruch Hu heard his tefillahs. Ben Kish, Shehikish Al Sharei Rachamim, he knocked on the Sharei Rachamim by HaKadosh Baruch Hu v'Niftachuloy, and they were opened for him, and his tefillahs were heard. So Mefarshim ask, that isn't this a redundancy, saying three times the same point, that Mordechai Davin and his tefillahs were heard? So the Ben Yoyadi answers, that these three tefillahs that the Gemara is referring to represent three different tefillahs that Mordechai accomplished with it. First was that he was mispalel that Haman should be hung, and that was Heres Eneim. Klal Yisrael's prospects certainly brightened at that point. Then he davened that Achashverosh should nullify his decree, and that tefillah was heard. And then he davened that the Goyim should not anyway attack Jews, and that tefillah should be heard, was heard also. However, it's interesting to note that the Gra, because of this question, seems to have a different girsa in the Gemara. And he brings the girsa, Sheher a name Sheyisrael Betoira, that Mordechai was the Godel Hador and taught Klal Yisrael Toira. And then Ben Sheshama Kel Tfilasoi, which refers to his tefillah, and Aldelas Rachmim, that he had Rachmanis, meaning that Mordechai was worthy of being able to serve Klal Yisrael because he had within him Torah, Avoda, and Gemilas Chasadim. And somebody who has those three traits, the world stands on those three traits, and that's why Mordechai prevailed. Continues the Gemara, Karla Yehudi, he's called Yehudi, Amam Yehuda Kasi. Obviously, he comes from Shevet Yehuda. And yet, Vakarla Yemini, the Pasuk also calls him Yemini, Amam Binyam Kasi. That means he comes from Shevet Binyamin. Answers the Gemara, Amar of Nachman, Mordechai Mukhta bin Amisahaya. Mordechai had many titles, and all these different names represent titles that he had and he was deserving of. Others explain, Mordechai Mutcha ben Yusai, the Yaris Tavash explains, that Mordechai was not ashamed to act as a Jew. In that time when Jews were in trouble, so they perhaps didn't act in public as Jews, Mordechai Mutcha ben Yusai, he wore tefillin, he wore tzitzis, and he wasn't embarrassed to be considered a Jew. Continues the Gemara. Amar Rabbi B'Khan Amar Yishu ben Levi. Avim ben Binyamin, Mordechai's father was from Sheva Binyamin, V'ima ben Yehuda, and his mother was from Sheva ben Yehuda. Rabbanan Amri, Mishpachas Mizgar Zu Bazu, the families of Yehuda and Binyamin were debating. Mishpachas Yehuda Meris, Mishpachas Yehuda says, Ano Garam de Mesialim Mordechai, I am the one that caused the Mordechai to be born. Like Kotle David L'Shimi Ben Gera, as you just learned, Mordechai was a descendant of Shimi. Shimi, who was from Sheva Binyamin, and was upset that David became king and that the Melucha no longer was by Shevet Shaul cursed David. And David did not, even though he deserved, and Shimei, even though he deserved death for treating the king that way, David did not allow him to be killed, and that's how ultimately Mordechai was born. Mishpachas Binyamin Amra, Mishpachas Binyamin says, Mordechai comes from me, and we deserve the credit for this great tzaddik. Rav Amar, however, so according to this explanation of the Rabbanan, both of these families were trying to take credit for Mordechai's birth. On the other hand, Rav Amar, Knas Yisrael Amar L'Idagisa, the reaction to Mordechai's birth was not of everybody wanting to take credit, just the opposite. Ru, they were saying, Ma'osul Yehudi, what this person from Yehuda, Ma'ashil L'Yamini, and what this person from Binyamin paid me. Ma'osul Yehudi, what does that mean? D'Laikot L'Dav L'Shimi. How bad was it that David didn't kill Shimi? This Yalamnei Mordechai, because since Shimi wasn't killed, Mordechai was born. The Mikni Bei Haman, who provoked Haman by not bowing down to him, which caused Haman to get this decree from Achashverosh. Or Mashilei Yamini, and what was paid for by somebody from Binyamin. The Lekatli Shaul Agag. Shaul, we know, went to battle with Amalek, and he captured Agag, who was the king of Amalek. And instead of immediately killing him, he let him live one more night, in which this Agag had relations with a Shifcha, and from that ultimately Amalek came. This Yalim and Haman, that from that union Haman came, the Mitzal Yisrael, which caused so much sorrow for Klal Yisrael. So according to Rava's explanation, it's just the opposite. Mordechai should not have, they were not praising Mordechai, it was just the opposite. And the Ein Eliyahu explains, what is the basis of the machloikis between the Rabbanon and Rava, either saying that what Mordechai did was good or bad? So he explains that the Gemara Masechta Sanhedrin brings a machloikis between Abai and Rava. If somebody worships Avodah Zorah, may I have him a Yira, just because he loves someone and he wants to show he loves him, so he asks me to worship Avodah Zorah, I worship Avodah Zorah. And Meira, because I fear him, and that's why I serve Avodah Zorah. Is that called worshipping Avodah Zorah? Rava holds that it's not considered Avodah Zorah, and Abaya holds it is. So now we can understand. According to Rava, they were allowed to bow down to Haman, because Haman, they were bowing down to him because of fear. And therefore Mordechai, according to Rava, who refused to bow down to Haman, caused, in his opinion, Klal Yisrael unnecessary trouble. But according to Rabbanon, who represent the position of Abaya, so you're not allowed to worship Avodah Zarah even under such circumstances. So Mordechai certainly could not bow down to Haman, and we just thank Hashem for bringing us somebody like Mordechai who saved us. The Mefarshim also ask that the episode of Shimi cursing David took place after the episode of Shaul not killing Agag. So, ask the Mefarshim, shouldn't the Gemara have gone in the proper order? So the answer, Shimi cursed David, as we said earlier, because he was upset at David who had taken the monarchy from Shaul. But the Gemara says, Shaul deserved that monarchy should be removed from him, because he did not kill Agag. Continues the Gemara. Rav Yochanan Amar L'Olam B'Binyamin Kasi. Really, he came from Shevet Binyamin. V'amai Kar LaYehudi. So why was he called Yehudi? Ashem Shakafa B'Avodah Zarah. He did not worship Avodah Zarah. So Kol HaKaifa B'Avodah Zarah. Whoever refuses to worship Avodah Zarah, Nikra Yehudi. K'tiksev, as it says regarding Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, Esrei Gervin Yehudoin. These people from Yehuda, and as Tosfos points out, they weren't necessarily from Shevet Yehuda, and still they're called Givrin Yehudon. Someone who doesn't worship Avodah Zarah is called Givrin Yehudon. And the Mashal says, even if we will say that they were from Shevet Yehuda. Why is it relevant to mention from which Shevet they are? To point out that whoever refuses to worship Avodah Zarah is called a Yehudi. Rav Shlomo Kluger points out, what does the Gemara say, Shekola Koifav Avodah Zarah Nikri Yehudi? It should have said, Kola Oyver Es Hashem Nikri Yehudi. So he answers that if someone serves Hashem, we don't really know what his attitude towards Avodah Zarah is. It's only when he's chas v'shalom put into a situation where he has to worship Avodah Zarah and he still refuses to, that is a proof of what he really is. Why is he called Yehudi? So Rosh Yosef explains, because in the name Yehuda is the Shem Hashem of Yud Kei Vav Kei, and since he serves Hashem, he refuses to worship Avodah Zarah, he's called Yehudi. And the Rosh Yosef takes it a step further. He says that from all the different names that we find of Hashem, the one name that's only attributed to Hashem and never to anyone else is Yud Kei Vav Kei. We find in the Pasuk, he says, that sometimes somebody is called Elohim, somebody is called with the shame Adnus, but never is anyone besides Hashem called Yud Kei Vav Kei. Someone who refuses to worship Avodah Zarah is recognizing there is only one God which is represented in Yud Kei Vav Kei, and that's why he's called Yehuda. The Rabbi Yosef Chaim Sonnenfeld, on the other hand, says that someone who refuses to serve Avodah Zarah is called Yehuda, because as we know that Yehuda, the Shevet Yehuda was called Yehuda, Shevet was called Yehuda because Levi said, "Hapam oides Hashem, I will sing and thank Hashem," recognizing that everything comes from Hashem. Someone who refuses to worship Avodah Zarah is from Yehuda. He recognizes that everything comes from Hashem and therefore is called Yehudi. It's interesting to note, there's a Shailos HaTshuvos Knesset Yecheskel that discusses the proper way to spell the name Yehuda. Is it Yud Hei Vav Dalet Hei, or is it Yud Hei Vav Dalet Aleph? So he says that really either way of spelling the name Yehuda is acceptable, because on one hand we find in our Gemara that Is Gavrin the Yehudon is spelled with an Aleph, Yud Hei Vav Dalet Aleph. On the other hand, we know in the Torah Yehuda spelled Yud Hei Vav Dalet Hei. So either way is acceptable. But he does say that if someone has the name Yehuda Leib, Leib is the Yiddish word for lion, so then he should spell his name certainly Yehuda Yud Hei Vav Dalet Hei, because he's certainly being named after the same as the Shevet, as Shevet Yehuda was called Gur Arya Yehuda, and he should spell the same way as the name Yehuda spelled in the Torah, Yud Hei Vav Dalet Hei. There are many Paiskim, Taz, the Shev Yankov, another Paiskim that seem to say that either way of spelling is acceptable, and a person should spell his name the way he's accustomed to under all circumstances. Says the Gemara, Rav Shimon Pazi, to have a Pasuk with Divrei Yomim. Rav Shimon Pazi, when he would say a lecture on Divrei Yomim, Amahachi. So Mepharshim, interestingly note, how does the name of Shimon Pazi come? Some Mepharshim say that Pazi was the name of a very prominent woman, and these were her descendants. Other Mepharshim say that there was a person whose name was Reb Yossi, who someone approached him and said that if you will sit and learn and allow me to support you, I'll support you in a very grand style, and you sit and learn, and the schus of your learning should be credited to me. And he gave him a golden cup. Paz is an expensive gold, so to speak, as a down payment. As Reb Yossi began to learn and realize how great learning was, he was not satisfied that the credit for his learning should go to someone else. And he returned the cup, and he learned for himself, and that's how his family got the name Ben Pazi. So as he began to learn the Divrei Yomim, he said, "Kol Dvorecha Echad Heim, all of your words in Divrei Yomim are one. For Anu Yoydim L'Darshim, we know how to explain them." As the Meretz Chayes explains, although throughout Nach there are psukim, many psukim that we need to try to understand, but there are many psukim that have simple pshat. The psukim, however, in Divrei Yomim all contain, says the Meretz Chayes, very deep pshatim. The pasuk says, "V'ishta ha'yehudaya, yodas yared avigdar, v'schaver avishoicha, v'sikusil avizonoyach, v'elabnei bisya bas parash shalakach married." These are the children. This is Yehudaya, who was married to Mered and had this child. Amai karle Yehudaya. Why is Bisya, the daughter of Parah, called Yehudaya? Ashehem shekafra b'avodah zarah. She reputed avodah zarah. The ksiv, as the pasuk said, v'tered bas Parah lirchatz l'yar. She went to wash by the river. V'am Rav Yochanan shiyada lirchatz from gule beisavia. She went to wash herself from avodah zarah. She went to be megayim. The Torah Evan explains that this is not the Geirus process that we're accustomed to, where Geirus requires tefillah going into the mikvah, because he explains that that halacha, that Geirus requires tefillah, was not yet given. And moreover, he says, if this was a Geirus with tefillah, then there's a requirement to have a bezdin there, and there was no bezdin. It was just, since at that time, he explains, for one to become a Geir, going to the mikveh was not required. She just wanted to separate herself from the past and now become part of the Jewish people, so she went to wash herself. Specifically, as the Sifsei Chachamim explains, that we know that the people of Mitzrayim worshipped the river, worshipped the Nile, and she was going there to say, I'm separating myself from that type of life. There are other Mepharshim say that it was a Geirus, and even though there was no Bezdin, the halach is that perhaps under certain circumstances, Geirus, the tefillah of Geirus can be acceptable even without a bezdin there, because the Meretz Chais explains even at that time there were certain halachas that only applied to Jews, not to anyone else. I saw another pshat. What's the proof that she was being megayir at that time? Because as the pasuk says, "V'teiras ateva," she saw this little case with the child, Moshe Rabbeinu, floating in the river, the tachmalalov, and she had rachmanis. So explain to Mepharshim, this trait of having rachmanis is a trait of the Jewish people. It must be that Bisya came to the river and was Megayer, converted to being Jewish, and immediately obtained, like all Geirim, when they become part of our nation, the traits of the Jewish nation, for Tachmalalov, that she had Rachmanis immediately on this child. Yolda, so the Pasuk says that she was the mother. Asked the mother, Rubuya Rubise, she only raised him, but she wasn't his natural mother. Answered the Gemara Loimalach, from here we learn, Shakal Megadli Yosem, Yosem Vatach Besai, whoever raises an orphan in his home, Ma'alav Akasuk Ilo Yolda, that's considered as if they actually were born to him. In fact, the Chach Mishloima discusses that perhaps someone is Mekayim Mitzvahs Pru or Vu with an adopted child. And the Chasam Sofer says that an adopted child can say Kaddish on his adopted parents. That Gos Maimonides says that if a foster father, refers to a child, my son, like in a document, in a shtar, it's considered a valid shtar, and the document should be followed. And in fact, the Chasam Sofer says that when an adopted child signs a document or is called up to the Torah, he can refer himself to the name of his adopted parent, not to his natural father. However, the Shaul Teshuvah Tzur Yaakov disagrees. He says that if a person who was adopted divorces his wife, in the divorce document he has to list himself as the son of his natural father. So in order to avoid confusion, he says an adopted child should always refer to himself the son of the natural father, not as the child of his adopted parent. Yered, continues the Gemara, Zemoisha. Why is Moshe Rabbeinu called Yared? In his time, the man came down. And as the Mepharshim explained, the Gemara says that the man came to Klal Yisrael b'schus Moshe. G'doyer, shigodar pritzaseim shi Yisrael. He fenced the breaches of Klal Yisrael by giving them the Torah, which teaches us how to live. Chever, shechiber es Yisrael lavim shebishmaim. He connected us to our father in Shemayim, as the Masha explains, through Torah we come connected to Hashem, as the Pasuk says, V'atim hadveikim Mashem alakeichem chayim kulchem hayoy. Soichu shenachasul Yisrael kesukah. He became to Klai Yisrael like a protective covering. He always protected us with his tefillah. Yukasil shekivi Yisrael lekel b'yomav. Klai Yisrael looked towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu with help in his time. Zanuach shezniach avinaseim shal Yisrael. He cast off the averis of Klai Yisrael. And as the Mefarshim explained, zniach means to push off. We know that after Klai Yisrael did the aver of the Meraglim and the aver of the ego, they were deserving of terrible punishment. But what the Kodesh Baruch Hu said was, "Ubiyoyin pokti ufakadati." I'll pass away. I will push off their punishment. I won't give it to them all in one time. Avi, Avi, Avi. His pasuk calls him three times. Avi. Ab Torah is the father of Klai Yisrael. Torah. Ab Chachma and wisdom. Ab Nevius and Nevius. And Reb Tzadik HaKoyin in the Tzitzikas HaTzadik explains this Gemara. He says that what it means is that even though we know Kahuna goes from father to son, Melucha goes from father to son, Torah doesn't go from father to son. If one knows how to learn, doesn't mean his son will be a Talmud Chacham, or vice versa. What is it? We all relate ourselves back to Moshe Rabbeinu, who was the Ab Chachma b'Torah u'b'Nevius. Veil b'Neim Bisya Shalokach married. She was married to Merid. V'chi Merid Shemoy v'lei Kalev Shemoy wasn't Kalev Bisya's husband. Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu Yavoi Kalev Shemoy b'Ratzas Meraglim. Let Kalev, who refused to participate with the Meraglim, the Yisus Bas Paroi, he's the fitting husband for Bas Paroi, Shemar Beglula Besavir, that she refused to participate in the Avodah Zorah of her father's home. Here we see that Kalev married Bisya. The Mefarshim asked that we find Midrashim that say Kalev married Miriam. So some say first he married Miriam, and after Miriam passed away, that's when he married Bisya. I also saw that the Maril Diskin asks, how could Kalev marry Bas Paroi? Isn't there a din that only a third generation Mitzri convert may marry a regular Jew? She was a first generation. She says two terutzim. One terut says that this was before Matan Torah. Before Matan Torah, these dinim did not apply. Another terut that he gives is that interesting terutz, that perhaps even though Paroi was the king of Mitzrayim, he wasn't an original Mitzri, and therefore this din did not apply to him and his children. It says regarding Mordechai, Asher Higlam Yerushalayim, they went into Golus from Yerushalayim. Amar Rava Shigolam Atzmai, he went into Golus on his own. The Rashi explains. The pasuk doesn't say shahoyim in a goyla, that he was a member of the goyla. It says a shahigla, he went on his own accord. Or as Tosfos says, it doesn't say shahuglu. Again, same point, that he went on his own. Why did he go on his own? So Mefarshim give a number of reasons. Since most of the Talmidei Chachamim went to Golus, he wanted to be together with the other Talmidei Chachamim. Another pshat is that he realized that he had the leadership ability that Klal Yisrael would need in Golus. And that's why, ultimately, he was the Zoicha to be the person to lead Klal Yisrael and be the vehicle for saving Klal Yisrael in the Megillah. V'yoymen es Hadassah, he raised Hadassah zu Esther. Karlei Hadassah v'karlei Esther. Ask the Gemara here, once we find she's called Hadassah, and then we find she's called Esther. What is her name? Remeyama Esther Shema. Her real name was Esther. V'lama nikra Shema Hadassah. Why is she called Hadassah? Al Shem HaTzadikim Shnikru Hadassim. Could Tzadikim are called Hadassim? V'keinu Oimer, as it says in the Pasuk in Zechariah, V'u Oimer ben Hadassim, standing amongst the Hadassim, which are Tzadikim. Why are Tzadikim called Hadassim? So some explain, because Hadass is a branch that always remains and never withers away. So too, tzaddikim always remain. Another pshat is that hadas gives off a pleasant odor. Tzaddikim are very pleasant. Another pshat is that in Gan Eden, we won't have regular eating and drinking. It's a world of neshamas. What we have over there is Eating is through smelling, ruchnius. And therefore, tzaddikim who are destined to go to Gan Eden are called hadassim. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Hadassah Shema. Her name was Hadassah. So long nikra Shema Esther. Why was she called Esther? Al Shem Shoistum Esteris Tavarez. She kept a secret. Shnemar Ein Esther Magedis Asama. Esther did not disclose from which nation she came. And there are many reasons given why Mordechai, as we will discuss later, instructed Esther not to give away, not to disclose which nation she was from. Some explain that given that we see that Ahasuerush was somewhat of a moody person, there was a concern that if Ahasuerush will get angry at Esther, and not only will he harm her, but he may harm her entire nation, all the Jewish people. Another reason is, Ahasuerush was always somewhat uncomfortable in his marriage to Esther because he didn't know from where she came. He thought she was from a very simple background. If he would know that she was from the family of Shaul, who was a family of royalty, as we explained on Tapet Amid, it would make him more comfortable in the marriage, and Mordechai really wanted to see that marriage dissolve. As we're going to see, Mordechai was really actually married to Esther. Another pshat that the Mefarshim give is that Mordechai was concerned that if Ahasuerush would find out that Esther was his relative, he would give Mordechai a position of prominence, would take him away from his ability to learn. Another pshat that I saw is that if, as long as Ahasuerush was not aware that Esther was Jewish, he wasn't paying attention to her actions. As we'll learn later in the Amid, she was Shomer Shabbos, she didn't eat non-kosher food. But once he would know she's Jewish, he would pay much more attention to her action, and therefore there would be a concern that it would be harder for her to perform her Jewish religion. And of course, the simplest pshat is, Mordechai realized by not mentioning from which nation she was, that would be the key to the Nes of Purim that we know happened. Reb Nachemya Amar, Hadassah Shema, her name was Hadassah, V'lam Nikras Esther, why was she called Esther? She was named Esther. Esther means the moon. Benazi Amra, Esther Loi Rucha V'loi Ketzar Haisa, she wasn't too tall, she wasn't too short, El Benonis, she was of average height, like a Hadassah. And as the Mashal explains, when Chana davened HaKadosh Baruch Hu for a child, she asked for Zera Anoshim. The Gemara explains she wanted Zera Shemuva Ben Anoshim, somebody who's like everybody else, not too tall, not too short. Average is good. And that's exactly what Esther was. She was the same. She wasn't extraordinary in her physical appearance, not too big and not too small. Rishu ben Karchaimer, Esther Yerakroikis Haisa. Esther actually had a greenish complexion, like Adas. The Chut Shechesim Mashallah, however, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made that she should find favor in everyone's eyes. So the Gra explains, can we then say that the Torah, that the Pasuk says that she was beautiful, and now we're going to say that she was a greenish look? So it says the Gra, she was actually beautiful, but when she was brought to Ahasuerush's palace, it caused her to look green. She was scared, she was unhappy, yet she still remained beautiful looking to everyone because of the Chut Shel Chesed. Ke'en lo avim, she didn't have a father or mother. Or ma'is aviv v'im alamli. So ask the Gemara, isn't the Megillah teaching us the same thing twice, that she was an orphan? Amar v'acha, Ibrisa, when she was conceived, ma'is aviv, her father passed away. Yildasa, and when she was born, ma'is ima, her mother passed away. Mefarshim explain, the Maral explains, one is considered a father from the moment of conception. So Ibrisa, when she was conceived, her father died, and he never had the opportunity to be called her father. But a mother, he says, is only called a mother at the moment of birth. Because until the moment of birth, the child in her womb is really just a extension of her uber yerech imai. So she was a mother, so when she could have become a mother at birth, she unfortunately passed away. Why was Esther a Yosaima? So I saw that the Maral explains that a Kadosh Baruch Hu has special love for people who are Yisoymim, and that's why Esther was a Yisoymim, that she could be the person that could bring a Nes Purim. The Yaris Devash explains, Amalek is a descendant of Esav. Esav's greatness was that he was Mekayim Mitzvah's Kibbut of the Aim. So anybody else who would have to be able to fight him would have to be able to excel in that mitzvah, which is difficult. Esther, however, didn't have parents, so she couldn't. So there's no complaint if she wasn't Mekayim Mitzvah's Kibbut of the Aim. Continues the Gemara. She was taken to be his wife. So the Mefarshim ask, why don't we say what it means that he raised her? And like we learned earlier in the Gemara, called Megalu Yosmetoch Beisoy Kilo Yolda. Explain the Gemara, that's exactly what the Gemara means to say. Why can we explain Labayis that Esther was Mordechai's wife? Because the fact Labas that she's considered a daughter, that we already know that concept from Bisya. So here it must be Labas, Labayis, that she was his wife. But still we need to understand, why doesn't the Megillah call her his wife that she actually was? So Farshim explained that given that Achashverosh took her as a wife, it would be very embarrassing that if the Megillah says that she was Achashverosh's wife and he took someone else's wife. That's why, not to embarrass Achashverosh, the Megillah says calls Labas when she actually was Bias, when she actually was Mordechai's wife. The Kain Oimer, we see this concept the Bas Kamina wife, the Nosan Hanovi, comes to give David Musar after what happened between him and Bathsheba, that he took Bathsheba, who was the wife of Uriah Achiti. And he gives a mussel. He says, Ul Rush ain't coal. And there was a poor person who had nothing, Kim Kifsa Achas, except a little sheep, Ktana Shekona, that he bought. V'yachayel, and he raised her, and she grew up with him, V'mbonov, Yachtav, with his family together. V'pita, Teichel, the sheep ate from his bread, V'kois, the Tishta, drank from his cup, V'cheiko, Tishkov, and she would lie in his bosom. V'tila, Kabas. Ask the Gemara, Mishum, the Becheiko, Tishkov, Havilei, Kabas, because she's laid in his bosom, she's considered a daughter. Ella, Kabayis, it meant a wife. Hachanami, don't say Bas, say Bayis, Esther was Mordechai's wife. The Sheva and the Oris, so the Pasuk speaks about the Sheva and the Oris, seven maidens that Esther had. Amma Rava, Shaisman ben Yimei Shabbos. She would know which day of the week it was, because every maid worked a different day of the week. Ask the Ben Yoyodo, Esther didn't know what day of the week it was, unless she had these maids. Answered the Ben Yoyada. Esther, as we learned, did not want to disclose that she was Jewish. So if she wouldn't work on Shabbos, obviously everybody would find out that she's Jewish. So she had a different maid come every day of the week. And the different maids were not aware of what her actions were the other days of the week. So the maid that came on Shabbos was only there on Shabbos. And she saw she didn't work on Shabbos. She thought that she never works. If the maid of Sunday came, she would see that Sunday she does do malacha, and Shabbos she didn't. So in order to protect the secret that she was Jewish, and still to be able to be Shomer Shabbos, she had reserved a different maid for every day of the week. B'yishanes Nersa, she changed her into maids. Amarav, Shechila Ma'ach Yehuda. She treated her specially. He gave him kosher food. Ask Ben Yada again. If Esther's trying to keep a secret that she's Jewish, if she's only eating kosher food, how's she going to keep that secret? So Ben Yada says two answers. One answer, he says, is that everybody realized that Esther was raised by Mordechai. So since she was raised by Mordechai, who was Jewish, so she was accustomed to eating only kosher food. That's why nobody accused her of being Jewish, just because she was only eating kosher food. Another answer that the Ben Yoyada gives, he says kosher food is healthier. So if somebody follows a kosher diet, nobody automatically accuses them of being Jewish. And that's why it wasn't something that raised any suspicion. However, Shmuel Amar, Shechila Kadli Dechazeri. She had to eat bacon. So Rashi says she actually ate bacon. Taisa says chas v'shom to say that Esther ate pork. So Mefarshim explain what is the machloikis, what is the basis of the machloikis between Rashi and Taisus. Taisus, as he says many times in Shas, ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu mevi takol al tzadikim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not make tzadikim stumble, and therefore it certainly can't be that Esther ate chazer. Especially Taisus says with macholos asuris, HaKadosh Baruch Hu protects tzadikim from eating macholos asuris. Rashi, the Mefarshim explained, agrees that tzaddikim certainly are protected from eating forbidden foods. However, they explain, when is that? If someone doesn't realize they're eating something non-kosher. So there, HaKadosh Baruch Hu protects them, they shouldn't come chas v'shom to eat something non-kosher. However, explained the Mefarshim, when someone is aware, when a tzaddik is aware that he's eating non-kosher, he's so disturbed by the fact that he has to eat non-kosher, he certainly doesn't enjoy the food. It's not called eating, and therefore, even if he ate non-kosher, it's not considered that, it's really considered an achila. They gave her seeds. Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah were sequestered to become servants in the Nebuchadnezzar's palace, and he fed them, and again, they refused to eat non-kosher food. They gave them Noslams Aronim and gave them seeds. And the Pasuk says that nevertheless they remained healthier than anyone else who was eating the non-kosher food. And the Ramah says there's a minig that on Purim we eat seeds. That's why many Hamantashen are made with poppy seeds. One is because Esther, as we just learned from Rabbi Yochanan, ate seeds, or because the Megillah speaks about Hasoch, who the Rashi says was Daniel, and Daniel we see here ate seeds. The Pasuk says that the treatment that the women went through was Shisha Chadosh Mishemen Amor. My Shemen Amor, Rav Chibar Abba Amma Sidkis. It's a type of bull's oil. Rav Huna Amma Shemen Zay Shalayvi Shlish. It's olive oil of olives that are not a third ripened. Tanya Rav Yehuda Oima, Afiknin is Shemen Zay Shalayvi Shlish. It's olive oil that did not bring a third. Why would one anoint himself with such oil? Shemeshir is a sayer. It makes the extra hair of the body go away. Or madness a basar, and it causes the skin to glow. The Pasuk says, Be'erev B'yah or B'ikishava. At night, every maiden would go join Achashverosh and come back in the morning. From the disgraceful behavior of that Rasha, we could still see something nice about him. Even though every day he had relations with a different woman, but he had relations at night, not by day. Everybody thought that Esther was a member of their nation. She was taken to Achashverosh in the month of Tevis. So the Gemara, what a wonderful thing this was, because Yerach Shenana Guf Menaguf. In Tevis, when it's cold, relations are much better because people are warmed up one from the other. V'yav HaMalchus Estim Kol HaNoshim V'tisa Chayim V'ches L'fan V'kol HaPsulois Amara Bikish Litu Tam Psula Toam Tambula Tam. He experienced in the same Esther as if she was already a virgin or she was not a virgin. He made a feast for Legalile. He made this feast in order to encourage her to reveal from which nation she was. So he made this feast, and still she refused to disclose. Dali Karga, he remitted taxes for Legalile, and she still did not reveal. Shad Batashnai, he sent gifts to important people in her name, Vlagalile, and she still refused to disclose from where she was. Vikavitz Pesula Shenis. So the Megillah says the maidens were called a second time. Ozl Shokl Eitzel Mordechai. Achashverosh went to take some advice from Mordechai. What should he do to get Esther to disclose what nation she's from? So Mordechai told Esther, Ein Isha Meskanis El B'Yerach Haverta. One woman is only jealous by the next woman. So if you'll take a second wife, perhaps Esther will disclose to you, that will get her to disclose to you from where she's from. However, says the Gemara, she still didn't disclose. The Ksiv, as the Pasuk says, Ain Esther Megedus Melarita. Esther refused to disclose from where she came. And as the Ben Yoyod explains, Mordechai, who was married to Esther, was actually anxious that Esther, that Achashverosh should divorce her. So he gave Achashverosh this advice, therefore he will perhaps divorce her and she'll be able to come back to him. Amr Beloza, Maidik Siv, Lo Yigra Mitzadik Enof. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't withdraw his eyes from a tzaddik. B'schat Tznius, Sh'ayis B'Rachel, since we find, as the Gemara will explain in a moment, that Rachel exhibited modesty, Zoch Sviyotz Men Shol, Shol HaMelech was her descendant. U'b'schat Tznius Sh'ayis B'Shol, because Shol exhibited modesty, Zoch Sviyotz Men Esther, he was worthy that Esther should be his descendant. Mat Tznius Ha'is B'Rachel, what kind of modesty do we find by Rachel? Says the Gemara, "Tiksev Yagid Yaakov leRachel ki achav Yehu." Yaakov, as he meets Rachel by the well, tells him that he's her father's brother. Asks the Gemara, "V'chi achav Yehu? Is he her father's brother? V'loy ben achosav Yehu? He's actually only a nephew." El Amala Mitzvali. Yaakov asked Rachel to marry him. Amala in, I'm willing. Miu Abramahu. I want you to know my father is a person who deceives. V'loy chotzle, and you won't be able to outwit him. Amalai Ochiv Anabramas. I am his brothers in deceivery. Amalai Mishale Tzdikil Sagvirimasai. Is a tzaddik allowed to act deceitfully? Amalai in. So he said yes. As the Pasuk says, Im Novar Tisabar Vim Ikesh Tespato. With a pure person you should act purely, and with a crooked person you can act crookedly. Amalai Mairimasai. Ask Yaakov to love to Rachel, what will he do? Why will he want to deceive me? Amli Isli Achisa the Kshishminoi. I have a sister who's older than me. Vlayim Sulim Kamah, he won't let me get married before her. Masla Sumanim. So to prevent such a thing from happening, he gave Rachel some passwords. Kimata Laila, the night of the marriage that was supposed to take place between Yaakov and Rachel. Amra Hashta Michsva Khsoi. Rachel said, my sister would get embarrassed. Masat and Nile, so she gave over the signs to Leah. Finally, the Ksiv, the Hiba Baikav Hine Leah. In the morning, it was found to be Leah. Asked the Gemara, Mechlal that hash to love Leah. She wasn't Leah until the morning. Wasn't she Leah all night? Amitayach Simonah Shemos Rachel Leah. Because Rachel gave over the password to Leah, Lo Yehave Yod that hash to Yaakov did not know in the morning until the morning there was Leah. The Fikr Zoch So Yotzman Shol. That's how she married that Shol should be come from her. Or matzni is hoisim b'shol. What was modest about Shol? Says the Gemara. The ksivis tfar milcha loy higad loy asham Shmuel. What happened was Shol had lost his donkeys, and he went to Shmuel to tell him how he could find his donkeys. When he came to Shmuel, Shmuel appointed him as king. Now Shol meets his uncle, and his uncle asks him what happened when you by Shmuel. But Shmuel, instead of telling him that he was anointed as king, he helped me find my donkeys. So Vazach, because he acted modestly, Yotzim and Esther. Farshim explained, Yaakov is considered Ishtam. Says here we find that the Torah calls him Ishtam, a pure person. Here we find that he was deceitful. Says the Chayzer from Lublin. Ishtam means that he's full, he's whole. He was whole, he was able to be pure when he had to be pure, and when he had to act differently, he also knew how to act differently. What were the simonim that Yaakov had between himself and Rachel? So the Mefarshim say he told him the three mitzvahs that women are obligated in: Nida, Chala, and Adlokas Haner. V'amar Belozer, Kishkadosh Baruch Hu Paisa Gedula Adam. When the Kadosh Baruch Hu decides that a person should be great, Paisa Glabana Vleivana Vatsoif Kol Adaris. It's a sign for all future generations. Shnem v'yeshivim l'netzach v'yigbu. He makes them forever high. From Higas Teitoi, when a person becomes arrogant, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mashpiloi, HaKadosh Baruch Hu lowers him down. Shnem v'yavsurim v'zikim, they're bound in chains. Continues the Gemara. V'smama martcha Esther Asa, whatever Mordechai told the Esther did, Amr b'yimri shoy samara dam nidl chachamim. Even while Esther was married to Achashverosh, if she had a question about the status of her being a nida, about the blood that she was expelling, if it was dam nida or not, she would ask the shayla to Chazal, kasha hoisa ba'omni itai, as it was when she was with Mordechai. Om Rav Avlema, shoisa emedes b'chekish al shverish, she would stop having relations with Achashverish, but Tevelis, and then she would go to the mikveh to wash herself and separate herself from the relations with Achashverish, but Yeshevas b'chekish Mordechai would have relations with Mordechai. B'yom mehem Mordechai yosh b'shar melech, kotzav b'ksen v'serish. Omer Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, Omer Rabbi Yochanan. Hiksav HaKadosh Baruch Hu odin al avodov. HaKadosh Baruch Hu once made that a master should become angry with his servants. Lasis ritzoin tzadik, in order that the will of a tzadik should be fulfilled. Who was that? Manu Yosef. HaKadosh Baruch Hu caused the paroi should get angry at the Sar Mashkim and Sar Oifim, that they would be in jail. And that's when Yosef would interpret their dreams, which ultimately led to Yosef's freedom. Avod mal the name, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made servants should get angry at their master, Nasas Lesh Tzadik, when is that a Mona Mardchai? The Ksiv Yavod HaDov LaMardchai. And the Gemara explains, Om Rabbi Yochanan, Biksim V'Sherish, Shnei Tetsoyim Havad. There were two people from the country of Tarsi, from Saprim B'Losh and Tarsi, and they spoke to each other in this language. V'Om Miyoyim Shabbos Zu, from when Achashverish married Esther, Larina Shena Ben Nenu. We can never get any sleep. Because since Achashverosh was constantly having relations with Esther, he was always thirsty, and they had to constantly bring him water. Bava natal eretz b'sefel, let's put water in the bowl from which he drinks, kadesh yomis, in order that he should die. V'heim lo yoyden, they weren't aware, k'mardchem yoyshe lishkes agazosoye, Mordechai was a member of the Sanhedrin, but yoyed b'shev aloshim, so he knew all 70 languages, he understood what they were talking. The Gemara continues the conversation between Bixen and Sherish. Don't we're not at the same post at the same time, so how can we pull this off? One said to the other, I'll take your shift and my shift, and you'll be able to get the poison and do what you have to do in that time. And as the Mefarshim explained, Mordechai reported that they wanted to poison Achashverosh. But they were concerned perhaps Mordechai was the one that wanted to poison Achashverosh. But then they saw what happened, that Bixen and Sherish weren't at their post when they were supposed to be. It was a clear proof that it was what Mordechai said, that they were trying to poison Achashverosh. Achad Verma Elo asked the Gemara, what happened? What's the continuation of the story? Omarov, Achashapar Kadosh Baruch Hu Fulamaka. First, a Kadosh Baruch Hu prepares a remedy. Darnash Lakish, and a Kadosh Baruch Hu Makas Yisrael. Kadosh Baruch Hu does not bring any trouble to Klal Yisrael. Elam came by Lem Refuat Chil, unless he prepares a remedy first. Shinamik Rafil Yisrael. First, I heal Klal Yisrael, the Nigla of Vine Ephraim, and then I could show their Averis. Umas Oilam Enikan, it's not like that everywhere. By other nations, Mak Oysan, first HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings the Tsaris, Vachkat Baralam Refuah, only afterwards he brings the remedy. Shne Vnika Feshemes Mitzrayim, Nogoyf, first he brings the Mak and then the Rafai. And the Farshim explain why does HaKadosh Baruch Hu bring the Refuah before the Mak? Because perhaps if HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if after we have the Mak, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to judge us, perhaps we're not deserving are being remedied. But if the remedy is already there from before, so he doesn't have to specifically judge us, he could just bring us the refuah that's already prepared from beforehand.